The Pazza Podcast, episode 54. I think it's been a while since we did one, so excited to be back. My co-hosts, my good friends, Jake Gibson, Jonathan Mayer. We're in a good time at FIU Athletics where we only have two sports to focus on right now and, you know, a couple other smaller ones. And one of the bigger ones is baseball, and they're currently sitting at, I want to say, 15-13 on the season. They're 6-3 in conference play, the best start they've gotten off to, I believe. And Mayer, Johnny, you could recall, you could tell me this, right? I believe the best conference start ever they've had. Yeah, so a lot to like there so far. They're heading over to Jacksonville to take, well, Jacksonville, Alabama, to take on the Gamecocks in a 3-game set this weekend. And we're excited to have Austin Dearing on, one of the guys who has really made an impact, you know, for this FIU team. Austin, thank you so much for hopping on. This will be the fourth or fifth baseball player we've had on. So excited to have you on, man. So
thanks for having me. Yeah, I appreciate that.
All right, let's get it going. So this is something many fans won't know. You were a two-way player back in the day. Talk to us about a little bit about that and what made you eventually stick on the hitting side.
Man, you really dug deep for that one.
You did.
In high school, I was a two-way out there here and there. I wasn't a starter or anything, but just like a emergency guy if they needed me. Because our team was pretty good going through high school. We had a lot of pitchers, and so it was just one of those things. If we needed me in a situation, then they'd throw me in there. But, you know, hitting, obviously, they knew was my main focus, so they would let me do that. But, yeah, so, I mean, probably another reason why I didn't throw a whole lot. I had arm issues for a while, just off and on, so it was just probably best not to throw me a whole lot, so.
Something else you did in high school was play basketball. You actually reached the 1,000-point club there. Why did you ultimately decide to go with baseball over basketball?
I mean, I figured I was a little bit better at baseball than I was basketball. Although basketball was my first love, I've always loved playing basketball. Just probably the activeness of just running up and down and the strategicness, because I played point guard, so. It was just always a sport that had a little bit over an edge than baseball, but I knew ultimately I was better at baseball, and that was going to be the best route for me to go.
Take us through your time in high school in 2018. You guys were state champions. Just talk to us about that experience at I believe it was Hurricane High School.
Yeah, that was what a year that was. We ended up going 34-4.
Wow.
Something like that. And it was just one of the best teams that I've been on, for sure. Just the way that our team meshed together. Because I come from a small town in West Virginia. So a lot of these people I grew up with for years. I grew up playing against them in baseball, playing with them. Heck, some of them might even live down the road from me. So, just in that aspect, it was very fun to be a part of. We also had really good baseball talent on the team. I think we had quite a few people go D1, maybe 12 more than that on that roster, ended up playing collegiate baseball. So it was really just fun to be a part of that and just watch us grow up and see where we are now. Yeah.
So to clarify something Kevin had mentioned earlier, you are the sixth active baseball player that we have had on the show, if you don't count, of course, the head coach Rich Witten as well. That'd be the seventh member of the baseball team to be on the show. So you are in a prestigious club, and we can't thank you enough for hopping on. But so after the that junior season, there was a major setback in your senior year that affected, you know, everybody. It was the COVID-19 pandemic, right? And got in the way, canceled the baseball season. So, you know, just how tough of a situation was this for you, right? As a soon-to-be high school graduate, you weren't able to show off your potential to colleges around the country because of the fact that the pandemic was raging on.
Yeah, so, well, I committed to Marshall my junior year of high school. So I know going into that season, I did have a place to go. I wasn't scrambling around looking, for a college that wanted to take me, but on the flip side of things, you know, I think I really needed that year to develop and just get experience playing baseball before going into my freshman season at Marshall. It was kind of weird taking a gap year. We're playing here, stopped for a while. We could play summer ball for a little bit, and then all of a sudden I'm just thrown into the fire and at the D1 collegiate level. So looking back on it, you know, I think that would have been a big part of my career, just being able to play consistently through that spring season. But yeah, man, that was tough for everyone for sure.
Going a bit back to that junior season, it was an award-winning year for you. You claimed the Gatorade Player of the Year award in West Virginia. So, I mean, looking back, how massive was that? Was winning that when it came to being recruited by Marshall? Like, how much of an impact did that make specifically?
I don't know. I don't know, to be honest. You know, I think they've seen me a few times before the end of the season, and when I was probably maybe at my best, I don't know, but they definitely seen me a few times before, and seeing that that award probably wasn't going to make a difference to see if I was going to be on the team or not. But I think it definitely played a huge part of it. Get me on the radar, all those sort of things for sure.
So you lived in the city of Hurricane, which is like only a short drive to Huntington, I think like 30 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Which, of course, it houses the University of Marshall. So growing up, how badly did you want to play for the Marshall Thundering Herd? And what was just the reaction to finding out that you would actually be playing baseball there in 21?
It was always in the back of my head for sure. You know, being close to home and playing in front of the home crowd is always something that every baseball player kind of dreams of. You get to play at a collegiate level close to your hometown, you know, there's going to be a lot of familiar faces at these games. And another thing, my dad played at Marshall back in the day. So, you know, Marshall kind of has been in the family for a little bit. So, you know, it was just, I know when I got that offer, I wanted to be there for sure. But, you know, things just didn't work out how they are. So.
And obviously, you talk a little about that. Obviously, you know, a little bit of playing time for you in your freshman year, and for you, you decided, you know, go in the portal and go into the, you know, the JUCO route. Talk to me about going to, you know, State College of Florida, making that transition to going to play JUCO ball, which really a lot of guys have been able to doing that, and has been, you know, good opportunities to kind of get more looks. You know, go to back to a D1 college baseball level.
Yeah, I knew coming out of Marshall, entering the transfer portal, I needed to get experience, and I knew one of the places I could do that is definitely playing JUCO ball. Luckily, I had a few connections from back home that got me to State College of Florida, and I knew I wanted to go south too. I knew that the competition, JUCO competition in Florida, was the best of the best, and that was going to develop my game as well, being able to play against higher competition. And I knew that was what I wanted to do from the jump.
I think I asked this to Keyshawn too, and I want to bring it up to you. How important is it to go to JUCO, right? You know, especially for high school guys that are currently in that position where maybe they don't have a lot of D1 offers, but a lot of D2 and a lot of JUCO offers. How important is it for maybe to take that route, and how important could it be moving forward for them?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think if I could have gone back to it, I think that's would have been I would have done that out of high school for sure. But it's super important. Unless you're going to be a dude at one of these schools, you know, you're going to be a Friday night guy. You know that you're going to be the starting shortstop, like coming in. Like, other than that, it's super hard to be on some of these rosters as a freshman, especially coming up when I come up with some of the COVID guys being held back a year or two. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm coming up and playing with 24 and 25 year olds, and I'm 18, 19. And I'm like, it's kind of eye opening on just like a physicality level. So, I mean, I definitely think going JUCO is super important to the development of your game, and just being able to get that collegiate experience right away, because there's talent all over the place in junior college.
Yeah. I mean, good example is, you know, Rylan West, Keyshawn Frett, you know, those guys have come onto the scene, played JUCO ball last year, and already have been an immediate impact alongside you with this team. But, talk a little about, you know, your season last year, hit 290, 18 runs driven in, a couple of doubles, a couple of triples. And, you know, obviously coming from JUCO, you want to be able to go back to D1 level. And you kind of had a little bit of a later, you know, process of committing to FIU over the summer. But what was that process like of, you know, the coaching staff reaching out to you, eventually coming to make a decision to come to South Florida?
Yeah, so last spring, probably it definitely wasn't my best year. Like, I know that by all means. But I knew I had to go into summer with something to prove. I didn't have any offers that I wanted at the end of spring. And I knew summer was really going to be my last chance to make a push at some of these schools that, you know, I knew I could play at. And so luckily towards the end of the summer, after I was playing well, my coach ended up reaching out to Girolamo, my JUCO assistant coach. And he said he would come take a look, or, you know, look at some video and just talk to my coaches and see what's up. And he ended up reaching out to me and calling me and extending me an offer. And just by the way that we were talking, how our conversation went, I just knew I wanted to be here for sure. It was a play. It felt right. Family atmosphere, and that's what I wanted most. So,
you know, you joined this Panther squad and you guys are off to a great start, as you know, kind of, we mentioned at the start of the podcast. Talk to us about the season overall. You guys have had some great moments this year, you know, winning your first three conference slate games. You guys are keeping it close with the Canes. You know, that's kind of one of the lows there, but still keeping it close with them, just, you know, and winning some big midweeks matchups. Just talk to us about the season so far.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think this is one of the more competitive groups that I've played on, for sure. I mean, this team loves to get after it, and we're always trying to learn and, you know, fix some of the sloppy mistakes that we've made earlier in the season and try not to repeat on those from here on forward. And I think it's shown, because we've grown a lot from the beginning of the season. I think we're losing some close games here and there, and, I mean, I think this squad is super resilient. And we can come back from seven runs. We've done it before. Like, we can do those things. And it's not a surprise either. Like, we put in a lot of hard work, you know, throughout the fall and throughout the preseason. And now, like, we're always constantly trying to get better. And I mean, yeah, we're proud of where we are now, but we're definitely not satisfied with it at all.
Yeah, talk to us a little bit about your personal season. You come onto the scene, you know, in the spring and the fall, and really it was that World Series three-game set where you really got it going, and then in the fall as well, which earned you that starting spot. But then you kind of struggled a little early out of the gate. Did you make any adjustments from, you know, the offseason towards the start of the season when you got into the lineup? And then after that, you know, kind of get a couple of days, you know, don't play as much throughout the middle of that midweek stretch, and then conference comes and you're playing almost every single day, and that's really when you started to take off. What were the adjustments like, you know, from time to time?
Yeah, I think I was just getting a little too ahead of myself coming in from preseason. I didn't have the preseason I wanted, and I didn't feel like I was in a position where I needed to be, and sometimes that's okay, and sometimes that happens. It's baseball. But, you know, I think I did get a little ahead of myself, and just talking with the coaches, I just need to take a step back and relax and take a deep breath, because I know that I can play this game, and I would just let my mind get a little clouded. And right now, just the change approach was just to simplify everything, you know, just go back to the basics. And I mean, it's stuck with me. I mean, that's what I've been best at, is just learning how to simplify things and just riding that through. So
of all the games that you've been a part of this season, you've had some absolutely incredible performances so far. But and I know it's a tough question, but which one would you say has been your best overall performance and the best example of what you yourself bring to this team?
Man, maybe either game one against La Tech or the midweek against UM.
Ooh. I mean, in Coral Gables, right?
Yeah, at UM, first midweek. I definitely, that's what I'm capable of. You know, I can put the ball in play. I can go for an extra base hit, and I can just make things happen. And I think that's definitely the when I'm at my best, I can make things happen like that. You know, it just comes to me. Like, it's not like I'm going out and forcing these things. It just comes natural.
So in the earlier part of the season, you mainly found yourself in the latter end of the batting order. But as of late, you've really made a staple of being, you know, Mr. Reliable in that two spot, coming off of either Andre Martinez or Brylan West at the leadoff. And of course, you have Ryan Guida trailing right behind you. So, you know, how do you think this change in the batting order has really helped you and your success rate at bat?
Yeah, I just think maybe earlier in the season, being at the end of the batting order and maybe being a pinch hit late in game was good. Get to see some fastballs, you know, just get acclimated again, just to get my feet under me. And then, I mean, moving up in the top lineup is not a huge change personally. I think, yeah, I'm going to be pitched different, but, you know, I believe in my abilities that it doesn't really matter how they're going to pitch me. Like, I'm going to be ready to hit. So.
And one thing that, you know, you kind of hit on is the family atmosphere with this program and, you know, really building that camaraderie and chemistry. And I think a good example was yesterday where we had, I mean, the craziest thing, a light pole blew out at FGCU and it caused the game to be postponed. We're still figuring out when that game is going to be resumed, but we had about an hour and 15 minutes just not knowing what we're doing. And, you know, I saw, you know, all the guys were, you know, hanging out, just talking. And obviously those moments you don't want because you want to be playing the game of baseball, but those moments are, you know, I think are the best times to build that chemistry, you know, especially on the road. So what is it like being with this team and building that chemistry and that bond and really being able to improve the team morale over the course of, you know, really of a long season?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think this is a well-connected team. You know, there's many different personalities on this team, like you guys know, and we just mesh together so well. And I think that's what makes this team great. Like we have people picking us up in places that other people may not. Like, it's just the type of people we have. We have a lot of different type of people, and you know, that's what makes good teams, being able to mesh like that. And I mean, we all get together so well. You know, it's a good time being in the locker room with those fellas. There's always good memories being made. So.
And one thing, you know, I want to know is there's so many guys on this team and you talked about it that are really picking up the pieces or have been, you know, key roles, but what are some of the guys that are maybe more the unsung heroes that kind of deserve some of the credit of why the season has been, you know, a good start and looking to keep building on it so far this year?
First name in my head is Sammy Fisher. I mean, coming in, playing third base a few games with quite a few people hurt. I mean, he's been locked down over there. Yeah, maybe he's not got the hits that he's wanted, but I mean, I don't think that's the role that he was in there for. He's in there to lock down third base, and if he gets on, great, but we're going to have some dudes in the lineup that are going to score. So, I mean, I think he's been perfect for that role, and low unsung hero. Like, he's been great.
Who's on the mound, would you say? The pitching
on the mound?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously Dookie.
Ooh, early. Yeah.
He can come in at any moment in the game and just shut him down. Like, I mean, yeah.
I like that. There we go.
Yeah. So, Kevin, is it time for a news break?
Let's do it. Go for it.
All right. This is my news break, where we take a quick look at all things FIU athletics and just FIU and general. So let's kick things off here with FIU men's basketball, where they've had their first brand new commit of the offseason. JUCO transfer Asim Jones has verbally committed and is expected to sign with the team. Kevin himself made a great article about this on the Pause Up page, which you all should totally check out. Entering his junior year, the guard from the Southern Idaho Golden Eagles brings some high-powered offense to the Panthers as he averaged over 30 points per game this past season. He should prove to be a solid replacement for Arturo Dean, and we wish nothing but the best for Jones with his time here at FIU. Now moving on to a few sports. It's not just one sport, it's a couple, as some FIU Panthers have been added to the 2023/24 College Sports Communicators Academic All-District Team. The CSC, as it's known, is a national association for strategic, creative, and digital communicators across intercollegiate athletics in the United States and Canada. From the women's basketball team, both Courtney Pranger and Maria Torres made the list. For swimming and diving, you have Jordan Browning, Paige Burrell, and of course, our favorite Christy Chewy have made the list among other swimmers and divers. So again, congrats to all the athletes from around FIU who made this very honorable list. And finally, let's go to the UFL, where a former Panther saw some action. For those who are unaware, the UFL is a spring football league that's a merger between two former spring leagues, the USFL and the XFL. Ike Brown, a defensive back, a former defensive back for the Panthers, who is playing for the Birmingham Stallions. He got some action as they beat the Arlington Renegades by a score of 27-14 this past weekend. He recorded two solo tackles in the win. You may recall former FIU quarterback Alex Magoo, who won back-to-back championships with the Stallions these past couple of seasons. Birmingham will take on the Michigan Panthers this upcoming Sunday at noon. And as Kevin is letting me know right now, there are a couple of events coming up that fans can either watch or be a part of. The first thing I'd like to highlight is the Rory Awards, which is next Monday. Of course, FIU's very own awards show honoring players and coaches of the fall and spring semesters of FIU athletics. And not to mention, of course, the big FIU football spring game on April 13th. You can still get your tickets for free if you go online, and you can pick them up at the stadium. As all the events that go on at the spring football game occur, we will, of course, be there to provide some coverage as well. A lot of fun things going on that fans can be a part of for FIU athletics. So there was your brief look at Newsbreak.
All righty, we are back. Austin Deering, FIU Baseball. Austin, again, thanks for the time. You know, you guys have a big, tough schedule coming up very soon. You guys have names like Wofford, again, FAU. The conference schedule doesn't get it much easier. You have Dallas Baptist. Just talk to us about the mindset going into those games. I know you guys travel first to Jack State, but it doesn't get easier from there.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is only the starting point, you know, just showing what we can do. Like I said earlier, we're always still trying to strive to get better and improve our game any way we can. You know, we're not satisfied with winning three conference series. We want more. So I think we're going to work harder than ever for the rest of the series, honestly, because it doesn't get easier. So
is there any game in particular you're kind of looking forward to playing in, you know, with the rest of the season coming up?
For like trip wise, I'm honestly looking forward to going to New Mexico State.
Hey, there you go.
I'll be sick. I mean, I've never been out there, but in terms of like, you know, great game wise, I'm excited for the DBU series.
That team is
it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, it'll be a good one for sure.
Hey, friend of the show and former guest as well, Alex Sanchez. So many goats on one screen. You're absolutely correct, Alec. Thank you. Thank you for that comment. God, that took me out of my rhythm. Okay, here we go. So Kevin alluded to this earlier. The two losses to the Hurricanes, both in Coral Gables and here at FIU, they definitely stung. But FIU were in those games. Were in both of those games. Despite the losses, so you know you have a couple of matchups coming up against the Hurricanes in May. Just how confident are you and the rest of the team that you guys will find a way to succeed against them?
Yeah, you know, we've been playing them tight. We've been having some really close games with them. I think we're just probably one or two pitches and swings away from really taking those games. So, you know, it's definitely not out of our reach, even though the score was, I think, 12-7 last time. You know, that game kind of got a little further out of reach towards the end of the game, but it was a lot closer than what the score reflects. So, I think coming in next few midweeks against them, we're definitely going to get one. We've been close. We've been chipping away, but we'll be ready.
I know Coach has mentioned this multiple times, you know, how important those in-state rivalries are for this program. You know, he really mentioned FAU as one of them, and then Miami. I guess you guys as the players, I know the games at the end of the day don't mean much in terms of just the conference, how that works, but it's still, you know, a baseball game nonetheless. It helps out the overall record, the RPI and all that stuff. How important are those specific games, you know, FAU, FGCU, Miami, those in-state rivalries? How big are those for you guys personally and then as a program?
You know, they're important. You know, it creates rhythm going into the weekend series, being able to have a good win in the midweek and going into the series, heads pumped up a little bit. So, you know, it definitely motivates us to want to win those. We're trying to go into a weekend with feeling great. And, you know, sometimes coming off of a loss, especially traveling, it can, you know, there's some things that can happen. So, but we're definitely a tough group mentally. But yeah, they're super important, man. Being able to win those games, especially against Miami, being an ACC school, and we're up, we can compete with them. And then FAU's been hot this year too. So these schools that we're playing in midweek aren't, if they're not uncompetitive, these are great teams. So,
and all things considered, you know, obviously this is a team really that, you know, is trying to do things that haven't been done in this program for a while. Like FIU's yet to make the conference tournament since 2018, and right now on pace to really be able to do that. So overall, what's the mindset with this team? You know, it's more than just making the tournament. It's really being able to, you know, chase a championship, make a regional. But what's the mindset for this team right now as you kind of are in, you know, I would say not the home stretch, but throughout, you know, middle of the season, just trying to keep getting those conference series and, you know, build up that conference record and momentum heading into, you know, late May.
Yeah. Definitely need to get some of those. Sorry, I just lost thought real quick.
You're good, Austin.
Some pop on my screen. My bad. Can you repeat that again?
Yeah, so just like, what's like the mindset with the team? Obviously, you know.
Oh yeah,
my bad. Yeah, mindset with down the line. Yeah.
We definitely, our eyes are on the conference championship. We're trying to win that before anything. Obviously, we got to make it there to begin with, but yeah. I think that's not in question whether we're gonna make it or not. We know for sure we're gonna be in a position to make it. So our eyes are definitely winning that conference championship and then making a regional. So I think that's where we're headed right now. Obviously, we need to still look at it week by week, and we got to win some series. But definitely our long goal is, eyes are on that conference championship for sure.
Yeah, no, absolutely. By the way, I always like to ask this question to the players, but obviously baseball has featured a whole host of rule changes in the past few years, of course, being the pitch clock, shift ban, and larger bases. Of course, being a batter yourself, you're very, very familiar with seeing how the pitchers you go with deal with these new rules like the pitch clock. Just what do you make of these rule changes overall, starting with, I guess, the pitch clock?
Yeah, I don't think for me the pitch clock has changed anything of my style of play. You know, I'm in the box and I'm ready to hit it. I don't need to step out and take 5, 8, 10 seconds to breathe and get ready. You know, once I'm in that box from the first pitch, I'm ready. So it has no bearing on me. And honestly, it's not been as bad as a change for what people may seem. I don't know about the pitching side. I can't answer that question, but definitely hitting and like defensive side, it makes it flow a little bit faster. So,
and what are your thoughts on the shift ban?
Ooh, I'm for it. I mean, I'm kind of in the middle of it, so I don't play infield. So like, I don't know how those infielders feel about like not being able to get in a position where they know a hitter more than likely is going to be hitting it there. But you know, I think it's good for the game, you know, being able to hit tall fields and not having field like all locked up. So, I don't really have much of a stance on that one.
Alrighty, so we're gonna start to wrap up here. We're gonna get some rapid fire in, so just to loosen it up a little bit, and we'll start, you know, with one that we ask these, I believe, almost every single athlete we've had on here. So. What's the hangout spot for you on campus aside from your dorm? Because that's the one we get all the time. So aside from your dorm, what's the one place you know you could always hang out?
Honestly, the locker room. A lot of us still kind of hang out there after practice and whatnot. So
someone said that last time too.
Yeah, I mean, there's not many other places we hang out. I mean, we might, because we don't really hang out outside. It's really just dorms or like locker room. Everything's right here, so it's either dorms, cafe, like walk around on campus, or baseball field. There's not much that we all don't do together. So
where's the go-to spot, you know, when you're hungry and you need to get some food? Where are you breakfast, going?
I'm saying Crepe King.
Okay.
I might have been one of the only people to say that, but
I absolutely
love that place. Five,
right?
Yeah, it's over there where the Chick-fil-A and Dunkin' is.
Okay.
I started going there in the fall, and that's easily one of the best crepes I've had. I'm def I want to try and get a little NIL with them, see if I can't see if I can't work something up, because I've gone there so much and it's crazy. But no, definitely Crepe King. That's the breakfast spot for me.
You would definitely be the first player to have an NIL with Crepe King.
I'm all for it. I'm all for it.
So again, in a similar sense, most players also have a different answer to this one. So I'm interested who you're going to say it is. Who is overall the funniest player on this team?
There's too many.
There's a lot.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who's been making me laugh a lot recently. Kmart has been on one recently. Oh, his, head, you know, his head's gonna, if he hears this, his head's gonna get a little too big. But he's been making me laugh a little bit recently. He's been on one. He's been in
the first too.
Kmart.
We usually get Owen. We get Brylan, Jeff.
You know? Yeah, you know, those are consistent. Those are, yeah, you know, you can always rely on them to be funny.
Exactly.
But Kmart stepped it up this past week. He's been making me laugh.
There we go. Okay, go to one is music taste. Who's getting the aux cord on the team? Who's not getting the aux cord on the team?
Who's not getting the aux cord on the team? I actually have to think about this because a lot of people play music. A lot of different people play music. So
I'm trying to get like the different artists and taste.
Yeah, he plays some pretty bad.
And if you want to choose a coach too, because we know a lot of country music.
We have heard bad things about the coaches and their playlists.
I don't know who I wouldn't give the aux to, but I would probably give the aux to, you know, Keyshawn be throwing some songs on there. He be throwing some songs on there, but I don't know who I wouldn't give it to. I don't know.
Well, all right. Well, what does your playlist look like?
Oh, whoa. I'm just kidding. I got a few playlists. I got like a country. I got a rap playlist. I got a like an alternative type playlist. And then that's really it. I mean, I have a Hispanic playlist, but I got to pick and choose my songs from some of my teammates. They got to help me out. So.
What's an alternative playlist?
It's like probably like indie music and like some stuff like that.
Okay.
Johnny, I've never thought about asking you this, but do you have a playlist for the team?
I do, but like it's too. I play like, you know, like Hispanic, a little bit of like, you know, yacht. Have you heard, you know what yacht rock is? Yacht rock? You know yacht rock?
No.
No, it's like, no. It's like 70s music. It's chill. It's like chill music. But like it's good in the summer, but like Hispanic, yacht rock.
Yacht rock? No, I'm not aware of that.
If you go and you put it up as a playlist, you just play it. It's just like a way of music. It's just chill. I don't know.
You're gonna have to send us your playlist, Johnny, because I have high hopes. It could be lights out. It could be lights out.
Basically, let's say you're on a yacht or a boat, you listen to this music, basically.
So is it on yacht
genre? What does that mean, Johnny?
Is it a genre?
It's a genre. It's kind of like a genre, yeah.
So, like, name a song in yacht rock.
Okay, you know, like the Eagles, like Hotel California, like Hall and Oates, like.
That's just a classic. That's just like.
No, it's like it's just like.
So it's just a playlist full of bangers, or what?
Banger, exactly. It's just a playlist full of bangers.
Okay, well, you could have just said that.
No, it's called yacht rock. It's called yacht rock.
Okay.
That's not a thing, John.
I think you guys need to give the aux to Johnny before in the next practice, just to see what the hell he's talking about.
Put it on the iPad.
Yeah,
we'll put him on spot.
All right, I need to ask you because this is something I've been wondering. You guys, for the most part, I do enjoy all of your walk-up songs, but which is the one you enjoy the most aside from yours?
Who has a good one?
There's a lot of good ones.
I mean, obviously, Brylan West is top notch.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a classic.
It's
a classic one. You got to give it to him. Hector's is pretty good. I like Hector's.
What's it called? It's a.
I honestly couldn't tell you what it's called, but I can hear the music.
I like Ronnie Medina's. Ronnie Medina, like.
Yeah, Ronnie has a good one.
I like Uyola's.
Uyola's got a good one.
Oh, super.
Dre changed his to little reggae song, his is pretty good. He changed his recently. There's a few. I mean, we all have some pretty good walk-up songs.
I would say Ron Kabarkis, that one, My Life. That's
yeah. Great. Oh, who? I love Cam Knox's.
Oh, yes, yeah.
It's just funny.
Oh, okay.
I like that.
All right.
Yeah, honestly, that might have to be my favorite.
Cam Knox.
I do want to ask you, you know, living in Florida, what's the biggest thing you've had to get used to? You know, it's a lot hotter down here, but what are some other things?
What you said, the heat.
Okay.
The humidity. I mean, I've been in Florida for a few years now, but I mean, it doesn't get better. It still gets super hot. Definitely. Yeah. Probably getting acclimated to that because up in West Virginia, we have four different seasons. So down here, it's really just one and a half.
Yeah.
One just gets turned down a little bit. So,
yeah, exactly.
But yeah, just the heat and the humidity and whatnot.
Before the podcast began, you had mentioned that you're a filthy Yankees fan. I'm just kidding. But with that said, I'm really interested to hear your World Series preview and the odds of you putting the Yankees there as your AL champs.
I mean, you know, you can go ahead and throw them in there. They're going to be okay. They're going to come out the AL. But I like – who do I like them against? I mean, the Dodgers are just going to find a way to get in it.
Dodgers are great.
Not Atlanta?
They might. I feel like they'll just choke it again. Dodgers or Atlanta. I mean, definitely for sure one of those two, but I mean, I can't see
LA versus
I can't see the Braves getting in there. It just doesn't fit right in my head.
So you think the Dodgers are going to be NL champions for like the next like decade?
I mean, they look crazy right now.
Yeah.
And they still don't have Walker Buehler back, which is mind-blowing.
They don't have Walker Buehler. They don't have Kershaw when, you know, he's on it. He's really good. And then they don't have Ohtani pitching yet. So,
I mean, Kershaw is like he's on his downslope, but he's still a great 4 or 5 guy in your staff. Like, why would you not want to have that? And then I thought Buehler was supposed to come back. I thought he was supposed to be back at the start of the season, but I guess it got delayed a little bit. So
yeah, I think it's like midway through the year he'll be back, like right before the All-Star break or after.
Yeah, I got the Yankees for sure. That's all I know.
Of course,
it don't matter about the NL. The Yankees are going to be in there for the AL. So
there you go.
I'm interested in asking is, do you have a pregame routine or like a ritual? We asked Jeff this, and he said he's a Dunkin' coffee guy every game. Do you have any like rituals you have? I know you talked about Craig Pink. Is that a ritual now for you?
Nah, I don't say I have like a ritual, you know, I mean, I'll come to the field and do my thing. Like I'll do my mobility program. Like I think that's like one of the first things I do when I get to the field. Cause that takes like 10 minutes and then, not anything in particular. I'm not super religious or anything like that. But I do like, I mean, I guess I have a mini routine, like just coming to the field and doing my mobility. And then whatever happens after that happens, like I'll usually go hit, but nothing that like I have to do like this, this, and that to be able to like function before a game. Like some people have like crazy superstitions. Like they just, if they don't do it, then their world might just
You're going 0-for-4.
Yeah, but yeah, nothing in particular.
So, all right. If you could, I always love asking this question. Is again, all the players give a different answer. If you could have an at bat with any major league pitcher ever, past or present, who would it be?
I'll probably go present. Man, who would be cool to hit off of? I don't know. I mean, I was gonna say like Nestor.
Lefty cool. Lefty matchup.
Like, yeah, I mean, he's just funky. Like, I want to see that in person.
It throws you off, yeah.
I get righty wise. Now that Corbin Burnes is in the AL, it would be wicked seeing him. He's filthy. Or not. Felix Bautista, if he's healthy.
Oh,
I would want to see him. I would want to see him. I was super intrigued with him last year before he got hurt. And he's just crazy on the mound.
All righty. So right before we wrap up here, we ask this to every person. We'll ask you here too. If we had to get one baseball player to have next on the podcast, who should it be? We've already had Brylan, Ryan, had Jeff, Keyshawn, and I'm missing one more, Jake.
I'm pulling it up.
So oh, Ryan. Said, is it Ryan?
I said Ryan. Oh my God, we're missing one.
Oh, okay, relax. It's Jeff.
Oh,
it's
Logan Keyshawn. Rundy. Logan Rundy.
Yeah.
Rundy.
I will say I think we do need more pitchers on the show. I'm just gonna say that now.
I'll give you one of each.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Position player, Andre Martinez.
Yeah.
You guys should definitely have him on. Cool. And pitching wise, you guys should throw in BG, Bryce Green. Throw him in there.
That'll be a cool one. Okay. All righty, Jake, wrap us up.
All righty, yeah. So, by the way, if I asked you to recite the entirety of Take Me Home, Country Roads by John Denver, could you do it?
And not off the top of my head. I could probably get some of it.
Okay.
Sure. But if the words were going, I'd probably remember. I'm terrible with lyrics. Like, I'm brutal. But that song, like, when it's going, I'd be able to sing it. But I couldn't sit here and tell you word for word off the top of my head.
I feel like it's like the national anthem of West Virginia, basically.
Oh, right? For sure. I mean, it's up there. It's up there.
All righty, Austin, as we start to wrap up here, let's finish off with one of our favorite segments on the show, where if you have anything you'd like to say to the fans, to FIU, to anyone, well, the floor is yours.
Well, I just want to thank you guys for having me on. This is my first podcast I've ever done, so that was pretty neat.
Oh.
I just want to just thank you guys for giving me the time to be on here and kind of share what my career path and what I've been through. So,
well, okay.
That's pretty much there. As always, make sure to follow the YouTube, follow the podcast, believe. All that good stuff. And
we just hit 600 on Twitter. That's pretty dope, guys.
On Twitter, that's really cool.
Sorry.
All righty. We'll wrap it up here from Johnny.
We should clarify again to those who are watching, FIU baseball is taking on the Jacksonville State Gamecocks this weekend, starting on Friday, April the 5th, 7 p.m., Saturday, April 6th, also at 7, and then Sunday at 2. All those games can be seen on ESPN+. They'll be back home on Wednesday, April the 10th, as they take on Florida Gulf Coast. Then they'll start that 3-game series against Wofford starting on April 12th. So just to plug in baseball.
Beautiful. And we'll wrap it up there from Johnny, Austin, Jake, and myself. We'll see you guys all next week. And as always, pause up, baby.
Pause up.
Pause up.